with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 17 through 37. Gospel of John, chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she said. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to live and walk amongst us, and to go to the cross for our sins. But more than that, Lord, that you resurrected him from the grave, so that he would be the first fruits of life eternal, as a promise for us. So, Lord, we just come right now, and we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to just illuminate these scriptures to us. Lord, that your anointing would be upon me as I preach your word this morning, that each person here would be touched by you, that each one would be drawn closer and know you better. Father, might we know that you are not a God who is far off, but one who has come near. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's interesting. I had sermon notes somewhere. Okay. Did anybody take my sermon notes? Just a second. I'm going to see if I stuck it in the folder. That way, if I'm really bad this morning, I can blame the fact I don't have my notes. How's that? Okay, first off, I titled this message, "God Weeps." When we see here, the shortest verse in the Bible is, "Jesus wept." But some people have asked the question, why is he weeping? Why is he crying? After all, the very next thing he does is he raises Lazarus from the dead. And if he knew that's what was going to happen, why would he be crying then? See, the reason why Jesus was crying was because we do not have a God who is far off, but one who has come near. When Lazarus was sick, what did his sisters do? They sent for Jesus. They sent to God incarnate and said, "Please come, Lord. Your servant is ill. The one whom you love is sick." And Jesus, being obedient to the Father's will, didn't pack up and run off as fast as he could, but waited to go in the Lord's timing. Not because he was uncaring, but because the Lord's timing is perfect and the Lord will draw near and bring comfort just at that right time. So Jesus comes, and he comes to Bethany, this town which is only 2 miles away from where they had just been trying to kill him. The chief priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, those in the Sanhedrin, they had decided that Jesus needed to die. The people who had seen him perform miracle after miracle. But he said, "I am indeed the Son of God." And they picked up stones to cast him, to kill him. Now he was only 2 miles away from the center of these people. So he didn't come rushing into town, but he came out. Plus, he also was sensitive to the fact that they were in their mourning and Jesus would be a distraction. But Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, that he was on the way, Jesus had probably sent one of his disciples ahead. She went to meet him. Mary stayed in her sorrow, mourning. But Martha ran out. Martha was always the one who was seeking to serve and be there, but she went to Jesus and she said, "Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died." She had that much confidence in who he was. But he came to her. He came there to bring her comfort. And she said, "Trust, he will rise." She said, "Oh yeah, I know. He's going to rise at the last days." And Jesus said, "No, no, no. He's going to rise now. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me and dies will live." That's comfort. To know that your loved one is going to live. And Jesus brought that. He went there. And then beyond that, he sent Martha after Mary. Mary didn't come to him. He went seeking after her. And he sent Martha to her. "Let her know that I want to talk to her. I want to bring her comfort." So Mary gets up and goes out and meets with the master, meets with the teacher, with Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He just listens to her as she says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And he just says, "Where is he?" Sometimes the simplest statements are the best. Anybody who's lost a loved one can tell you, you don't need to say a lot. You just need to be there. And Jesus was there. And he said, "Where is he? Where have you laid him?" And he saw their pain, their hurt. And he didn't stand aside from it, notice, oh, they're hurting. That's terrible. But Jesus then entered into their pain. He was troubled. And He wept. Now, I'm going to put Louise on the spot here, seeing how she's here this morning. And she's probably the one who, as far as I know, the only one here who's spent any time in the Holy Land, personally. But Louise, when people from that area weep, is this a quiet thing? Well, would you say it's kind of noisy? Are people like giving it their all, and flapping arms and flowing on floor and everything? I mean, we're not talking about, oh, it's so sad. That's what they did. That was weeping. Okay? Weeping is not a sniffle. It's done from the heart. And it's done with the body. It's the heart, the body, and the spirit all just giving up to sorrow. And Jesus wept. He entered into their sorrow. But again, why? Why? I mean, Jesus is God. We've done that. This is what the reason why He's had to leave, because He made that claim. I am God, and we see that. And the entire Gospel of John is nothing but a book to show us the fact that Jesus is indeed God. So, if He is God, why is He crying? He knows the end of the story. He knows what's going on here. Why is He crying? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, He is salvation. He's salvation incarnate. He's like, you know why pastors and policemen and firemen are pastors, policemen, and firemen? They like to have a sign around their necks that says, I am help. I get off on helping people who are in trouble. That is what makes me tick. If I can't help people, pack me up, file me away, because I'm done. But Jesus is help in the big, all capitals. Size 158 font. Okay? Jesus is help. He is salvation. Not just a type of help, but the source of all help. He's the cure, and He's right there. So why is He crying? I can fix that. You know, I do that with my kids. Well, why are you crying? I can fix that. When they were little, they break a toy. Oh, don't worry about it. We can fix it. It's not a problem. I didn't cry with them and say, oh, no, it's terrible. You lost your toy. I'm not that compassionate. Okay? Jesus is. And it wasn't phony crying. I mean, you don't phony weep thing. It's not done. It's wrong. Thereby being wrong means that Jesus wouldn't have done it. So Jesus wouldn't have done a phony weep. So it was real. His spirit was troubled. So why did He cry? Because He did indeed enter into Martha's pain, Mary's pain, and the pain of those who had come to help them to mourn. Now there's a concept I want to toss out just for a quick little rabbit trail around the block. Okay? Those people were there to help Mary and Martha mourn. Mourning isn't something that we have to do alone or even should do alone. But we, in fact, to do it best and to do it right, we need help. And that's why those people were there. That's why Jesus came. And He entered into that mourning with them. Because they were hurt, He was hurt. See, He is not a God who is far off, but He is one who is drawn close and who feels our pain. Now, this should be a comfort. This should be a huge comfort. Because what Jesus did for Martha and Mary and for those people there, they said, you know, if you had been here, He wouldn't have died, recognizing His power, but not even they thought that once death had come, it could truly be overcome. And that's why the Lord delayed before He came. So they could show that the shepherd cannot have one of his sheep stolen. This shepherd cannot lose a sheep. Not even death can snatch one out of his hand. Just back here in chapter 10, verse 28b, thereabouts, he said, "No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Well, if that isn't a declaration of deity, a declaration of being salvation, I don't know what is. But the comforting thing to take from this passage with Mary and Martha and with Lazarus, still yet in the tomb, we haven't yet gotten to the tomb, to that salvation, to that freedom from death, that victory over death that He's going to foretell. Lazarus is kind of a foretelling of the victory to come for Jesus. We should have expect that Jesus would overcome death on the cross. So He's shown that He has power over death with Lazarus. But we haven't gotten to that yet. Here what we have is a God who's drawn near and has entered into our pain with us. And has come bringing His help. But even before He brings His help, His salvation, He brings His comfort. Grab hold of that comfort. Hold on to it. It's for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your blessings today. We thank You that You are indeed comfort. That You just don't stand off to the side and watch us while we cry. But that You come to us. In fact, Lord, You even seek us out so that You can bring Your comfort and You can help us to through our sorrows in whatever way is best. And You will feel our pain when we feel pain. Lord, we thank You for that blessing. Because You are not indeed the God who is far off, but the God who is near. Might we know You as such and receive You as such and grab on to that comfort and hold on for all we're worth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.